The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs, and sorcerers, and the sexually immoral, and the murderers, and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come,' and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This past Thursday, the church celebrated the feast of the Ascension of our Lord, 40 days since Easter, the day of Christ's heavenly coronation. He now holds the position of supreme authority in all of creation and rules over all things for the benefit of his church. Jesus is no longer with us on earth in the same way he was for 3 years with his disciples. But while his disciples were still gazing at the cloud which had hidden them from their sight, two angels interrupted them. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." It's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus had only just left the disciples. He couldn't have been gone for more than a few minutes when the angels were sent to deliver the message, "He shall return. He's coming back." From the very beginning, even as the disciples were still hoping to catch one last glimpse of him, Jesus gave his church the promise, "I'm coming back." And it wasn't just a one-time thing. We hear it twice in our text this morning. "Behold, I am coming soon," he says. Clearly, there's something important here, something our Lord wants us to know, something about which our Savior wants us to be certain. Why would he say this? It's certainly not just because he is coming back someday. Whether he told us in advance or not, wouldn't change that fact. He could have left his plans secret. But he's told us that he's coming, and that he's coming soon, as an encouragement to us. The prayer that Jesus would fulfill his promise, that he would come, is one that is occasionally included in the church's worship. It may be one that you've prayed privately as well. Sometimes when things have gotten very hectic because of an approaching deadline, or when I need to make a difficult decision, I have longed for Jesus coming because it would have delivered me from having to meet that deadline or make that decision. Our presence here today obviously shows that so far the Lord has always chosen to help me in some other way than his final return. Nevertheless, knowing that Jesus has promised to return, that he will eventually put an end to the difficulties and frustrations we face, can be a source of great encouragement and hope. Unless, of course, you aren't sure what his return will mean for you personally. It's worth considering that a bit. For Jesus not only says, "Behold, I am coming soon," he continues, "bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done." To repay everyone for what he has done. What have you done? At the start of the divine service, we confess that we are sinners. The words vary from service to service, but the message stays the same. We have sinned, and thus justly deserve present and eternal punishment from God. That's what being repaid for what you have done boils down to. The wages of sin is death. Thus, it's clear from our text that the day of Jesus' return will not be a day of joy for everyone. There will be many who are not able to enter into the city, the heavenly Jerusalem. The dogs, John writes, that is, sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood will be kept on the outside. That certainly doesn't sound like the kind of company among which you want to be included, does it? Yet Jesus himself says that each of us fits right in among that group outside. You have heard that it was said, "Do not commit adultery." But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not murder," and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Idolatry can be defined as making something else more important in your life than God. That makes you guilty of idolatry any time you do what you want to instead of what God has said. The sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, because of what you've thought and said and done, you are part of that group. God's word condemns everyone. By rights, you and I should be barred from entering the heavenly city. How then can we pray that Jesus would come, even come quickly, if his coming means that we'll be repaid for what we've done? Jesus answers that question when he says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates." Clean robes are your ticket into the city, your voucher for eternal life. Thankfully, there's no mystery about what this means. For in the 7th chapter of Revelation, an elder explained to John, "These clothed in white robes have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The difference between citizens inside the city and dogs outside is not that some were sinners and others were not. No, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The difference is that some, those who are associated with Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have been cleansed from their sins. A white robe denotes not your natural condition or something that you've done to make it white, but the effect of Jesus' blood on the stain of your sins. All who trust in Him, all who rely on His perfect obedience on their behalf, have their sins obliterated, wiped away. A place is reserved for them in the heavenly city. By God's grace, through faith in Christ, that means that you can indeed pray that your Lord would come, indeed that He would come quickly. For then you will be fully and finally delivered from everything objectionable. What a wonderful, glorious day that will be. Yet there's even more in which to rejoice. Our text includes not only Jesus' promise that He will return, but also a gracious invitation. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. While we are praying that the Lord would return, and while we wait for Him to fulfill His promise, we are not left alone or helpless. Through His Spirit and through His Bride, that is His church, Jesus reaches out to us. "Come to me," He says, "and I will give you rest." Are you struggling with sin? Come receive my strength. Are you troubled by your guilt? Come be cleansed in my blood. Are you weighed down by grief? Come, and you will receive comfort and peace. Are you overwhelmed by the burdens and busyness of life? Come and be refreshed by my love. The invitation is open to all. There is no fee, there are no conditions. Through the Spirit and the Church, all are invited, all are welcomed, and the Lord will bless each one with what he or she needs to be faithful and to endure. Here in Christ's Church, you have a place of rest. You're given robes to wear, clothes washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. Have you been touched, dirtied by the lies, sexual immorality, violence, idolatry of this world? Who hasn't? But here in Christ's church, you receive the gift of forgiveness again and again and again. And here you are fed good food, the Lord's Supper, His body and His blood, communion with Him and with brothers and sisters in faith gathered around the table together. And here in Christ's church, you are given a place to rest. Here, through His holy word, the Lord speaks to you words of care and comfort. Here you are assured that you are never alone in this life. Here you are given hope and joy for the journey, as you catch a glimpse of Jesus once again, and as you taste and see the goodness of the Lord, as you receive from Him blessing and forgiveness and strength and peace, you also join in extending that invitation to others. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." Who better to invite others to receive the Lord's blessings than one who has known His forgiveness and strength in the midst of trouble? And thus we invite others, come, share in the forgiveness and peace and joy Jesus gives. Join us in His rich blessings. Jesus has not yet fulfilled his promise, but he will. Perhaps tomorrow, perhaps not for many centuries still. Until then, continue to come to Jesus for cleansed robes of forgiveness, for good food at his table, for a place to rest in his word of grace. And of course, until he comes back, his bride will continue to pray, "Come, Lord Jesus, because this world is not safe. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, because we want to go home. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.